This is the War Master, Josh Barnett, the man behind Warbringer and War Master Edition, a smoky, old, hit you right where it hurts kind of guy, but in such a way that you want some more. You listen to the Bourbon Podcast. Get your glasses up. Cheers with us.
Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We've got a new proof positive for you, but only two of the three guys are here. Joe's here. Hey, Joe.
I made it.
You made it.
I felt like a lumberjack coming over here because, I mean, just driving here was like a, literally like a war scene with all the trees that are down. We got hit by a tornado yesterday, so it's amazing. We're literally in a bunker.
Yeah,
and we've all been without electricity for 72 hours, except Ben, who's got a nice fat generator.
Hey, that Generac, that was that best investment I ever made, the Generac. But you know what? So if you, but you've got to be in a bunker during a tornado. This is the bunker you want to be in. We're in the bourbon bunker. Unfortunately, Kyle is in Los Angeles on spring break.
Boo hoo!
Poor Kyle, he's out there sun, and it's like freezing cold now, and tornadoes and crazy weather.
But he'll come back and there'll be like a tree probably camped on top of his house.
Caught up. So we're going to review Booker's. This is the Springfield batch 2024-01. And not a lot of people have this one. I got the call this morning. I got a text. It's available. So I like literally left work, grabbed it. You had already got yours. You already got two bottles of yours. And then, but I told him we're gonna do a proof positive on it because I was so interested. This is 124.5 proof. It is 7 years, 7 months, 8 days old. This is that quarterly release they do in the nice wooden brown box people like to give out as gifts. Tell us a little bit about Booker's, Joe.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm not gonna feel bad for Kyle being out on the sun during spring break with the kids, but this is in his wheelhouse. It's age six, you know, between 6 and 8 years of age, uncut, unfiltered, you know, in that 120 to 130 proof, old, you know, reputable recipe. Matter of fact, I think Booker's is one of his go-to. So it's too bad he's not here today.
In fact, I think I gave him a bottle or two over the years as gifts.
Perfect. Well, but we are huge fans of Booker's here on Bourbon Podcast. And little background about Booker's. So first of all, the distillery is Jim Beam Distillery in Claremont, Kentucky. However, the Jim Beam, you know, is owned by Beam Suntory. In terms of the Booker brand history, Booker No. Was the grandson of Jim Beam, and he was the sixth generation master distiller at Jim Beam. And in this particular, you know, Booker's is kind of named after him, of course. And in 1979, Booker's was first released, you know, this uncut, unfiltered whiskey from some of these unique parts of the Rick houses, where they began to release this in bottles to family and friends and for some special occasions. But it wasn't until 1985 that Jim Beam, we've talked about this before when we did a Knob Creek podcast. In 1985, Jim Beam, anticipating this small batch bourbon boom, decides they're going to target the high-end liquor market with four offerings. So 40 years ago, they announced they were going to do first a release in Knob Creek, 9-year-old, that's bottled at 100 proof. Secondly, a Baker's bourbon, which is 7 years old generally, and it's 107 proof, so a little higher proof, a little younger. And then Basil Hayden, which is an 8-year-old at 80 proof. And that's really more your gentleman's bourbon. It's a lower, much lower proof at 80 proof, but it is an 8-year-old bourbon. And then there's Booker's, which historically has been released, you know, between 6 and 8 years of age, but really it's 6 and 7 years of age. And it is uncut, unfiltered. It's a natural proof bottled at least around 121 all the way up to just north of 130. So they decide from the same mash bill of 75% corn, 13% rye, and 12% malted barley to release four different small batch bourbons in anticipation of meeting this small batch bourbon craze. That's 40 years ago, Ben.
Yeah, they were definitely ahead of their time.
It's unbelievable because if you fast forward 30 years, they're still early if they're releasing. And here we are 40, almost 40, 39 years later. You know, the small batch bourbon craze is here. And so Booker was way, way, way out front. And so, you know, Knob Creek, Baker's, Basil Hayden, Booker's, same bourbon. Just from different areas of the rickhouse, different ages, different proofs to meet all the different variant palates. So after 85, they start releasing Booker's to the public in 1988. And between 1988 and 2013, they release 50 batches. And there were four limited releases in there as well. And generally speaking, early on, the thought was, we're going to hand select these barrels, so it'd be Booker No, from the center of the rick house, where the temperature and humidity are their most favorable for fine bourbons. So that was the concept of Booker's, and then uncut, unfiltered, and just, you know, pour it out of the barrel, put it into the bottle. In 2013, Booker's sets up what's known as the round table. And so the round table is made up of a panel of whiskey writers and Fred Noe, Booker's son, the master distiller. And collectively, since 2013, they have done roughly 52 batches. It's really, really phenomenal. And under the new label program, which everybody's familiar with, so in 2015, they started to name these every batch. There were 40 different batches. This is the 40th, that they decided to do these unique labels and actually name each batch for either a memory or for what the bourbon reminded them of or whatever they wanted to do. And so all told, you have over 100 batches since they essentially released this to the public in 1988. So if you want to do a vertical...
That would be a very difficult
take up.
What was the production for the, I mean, the earlier ones, probably the production wasn't very high, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm guessing like 1,000 bottles and then building on up,
yeah,
you know, to wherever they're going to be today. But so let's now talk a bit about this 2014 01 release. It's named Springfield Batch. It's the 40th release since 2015. Under this label program, and under the round table. This batch honors, it's very special, Fred Noe's, that's his father's hometown of Springfield, and Springfield, Kentucky. And it's a small rural town in central Kentucky, and it's where Fred was born and raised, and also where Abraham Lincoln's legacy began, according to at least what I've read. And, you know, this is important because a lot of people think Fred knows from Bardstown, but the reality is what he wanted everybody to know is that Springfield, this batch is to honor his father. And, ultimately what that town meant to his father and how that really shaped his, you know, persona and his willingness to share both in conversation and in food and in whiskey. And so that's kind of the background on the Springfield batch. We can go into a few more details, but Ben, maybe you can tell them where they came from in the warehouse.
Yeah, so this was, and I think, Joe, this is one of the older batches probably that we've seen in, what, 7 or 8 years? It's 7 years, 7 months, 8 days. The color on it is like this amber brown if you swirl it in the glass. I mean, it's got serious legs on it.
You got to go back like almost 50 batches to find one this old that's age dated 7 years and 7 months. I mean, there was a long string of sub seven, you know, in the 6 year range of, you know, bourbons that were released. This at 7 years and 7 months, you literally have to go back 2014, 10 years.
So the Booker's comes with a nice box. It's a really good one to give out as gifts. And it's also reasonably priced. Even on the secondary, it probably doesn't go much above $115 to $125. We got ours in the $90 range. But inside the box, there's a little card that has the master distiller notes and the batch story. But it specifically tells you where it came from. I mean, 17% came from the fifth floor of a nine-story warehouse G, 7% from the fourth floor of nine-story warehouse H, 31% came from fifth floor of seven-story warehouse Z, and 45% came from the fourth floor of seven-story warehouse 3. So kind of in the middle.
Exactly.
Not down low, not up high, exactly. Right in the middle.
Right where, like, his father, you know, originally when they were putting these together, mm-hmm. exactly the whole concept of somewhere in the center of these rick houses. And you can taste it, no doubt about it.
So when I'm getting ready to taste, particularly if I haven't had a warm-up, you know, 120 plus proof, I'm on high alert because I think I'm going to get my taste buds burned off. You know, I sip this. It's not like that at all. It almost tastes like but not secondary finish, not a double finish, but it's almost like a dessert. It's like this really, first of all, it's very creamy. It's got this very pleasant heat, not an overpowering heat. It's got a pleasant heat where almost like a cinnamon type candy, but it's not really,
right.
Doesn't really taste like cinnamon to me, but it's kind of like that where you're expecting, you know, maybe it'll be hot, but it's like a pleasant heat.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I notice is that the color, we were talking about this when we first opened it up, but that they describe it as their darkest and deepest amber. So
it really is. It's dark.
It is dark. And it reminds me of like liquid brown sugar. And you know, that's the first thing I noticed. And the legs are just
look at that.
Outstanding. So you can sit there and look at it for a little while. Look at the color in the legs, and then you know you're looking for this, some kind of a richness, right? And the creaminess from the viscosity from the legs on that you see on the glass. And then when you start to check the aroma out, I mean, the vanilla and caramel notes they're great. And you get some of that sweetness you're talking about, which I would, again, defer to as brown sugar, that simple. And when you translate that into the flavors and finish, it's literally all the way through. In the color, in the nose, in the taste, in the finish, it's like vanilla, caramel, brown sugar, and the right amount of oak and this super balanced, like long, I think you used the word pleasant.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Like the two words that come to mind, it's pleasant and quality. Like you can tell a good quality bourbon. And I'm not even the highly allocated stuff I'll taste and I'm like, hey, you know what I mean? This one you taste and you're like, damn, that's like really, really good.
Yeah. I've had a lot of Booker's and typically I will open it when I just want a big in your face bourbon that is a good drinker, but it's a big boy. Usually around the holidays, I'll definitely open it up. Sometimes throw it into some eggnog. And it makes an amazing, heavily spiked eggnog, you know, cocktail. But I mean, this one's shocking because even though it may be age dated at 7 and 7, that's clearly there's some barrels in here of age because it's a really nice, complex, creamy, and it doesn't drink like an in your face bourbon at all.
No, it doesn't.
And it's so good. Because I'm on my third or fourth glass, and it wouldn't be hard for me. You know, we're almost a third of the way through that. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at the end of this interview we're not halfway through the damn bottle.
Well, then we're going to need Kyle to carry you out of here. So we're going to have to wait for Kyle to come back from LA. But I'll tell you what I am going to do because Kyle loves Booker's. Today when I was at the store, I was offered two bottles, and I only took one. So tomorrow I'm going back to get the other bottle so I can give it to Kyle because he's going to love this.
Yeah.
This is... Like, I've always liked Booker's. I really like Little Book. This is by far the best Booker's that I've had.
Yeah, I've had some good, like, the limited releases, which are not fair.
Yeah, and compare. I haven't tried those.
I've had a few from the 2015 releases. Mm-hmm. And some of those 2013, 06, 07, it's called 2013 C06, 07 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Some of those were really outstanding. complex and beautiful. But again, like there were many, many years of age statements in literally 6 years plus, but under seven. Last year, they started to finally re-release them at seven. And this one is, again, you got to go back 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years. And so it's, and that's the minimum age. So it's telling me there's some real old stock in here. I think he wanted to do his, if I'm just kind of reading into it, maybe way too much. If Kyle was here, he'd tell him, he'd probably call me out. But I mean, Springfield Batch is his father. This is like, I think it's almost like, let's just see this what is, people think.
This is a tribute.
And right. I think he wants to put it out there, and just because he knows probably how damn good it is, and yeah. he wants to see what people are thinking. And I'm guessing it reminds me of like the Michter's first runs of this year, where everybody's running because it turns out it's a 13-year-old, and it was so amazing.
Yeah, and so honestly, so that came out. So the Michter's 10 actually came out late last year, right? If I recall. But this Booker's 2024-01 is probably the first one that I would say is in the running for top 10 whiskey of the year. You know, we do that every year. We do the top 10. And I think that this one is, it's going to give even some very highly allocated whiskeys a run for their money.
This one's going on my list.
This is on my
list. It's already on my list now because it meets all the criteria we're looking for. Price, availability, just all the things that you want from a bourbon that we covered, from the color to the viscosity to the taste and the finish.
So MSRP is around 90-ish. We got ours a little bit of a discount. Secondary is not that bad, honestly. It's around 115 to 125.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem paying that for this one. And I had some good ones last year too. Although I didn't taste all four releases, I only had three of them. But if I recall, some of the earlier ones I thought were better than the later ones. But this one, two thumbs up from me.
Yeah, me too. Easily, and it kind of reminds me like the, you know, that C923 that Elijah Craig did. Came out and
man, that would be a good lot of side fanfare. By side, wouldn't it?
It would be a tough fight there.
It would be.
That C923, you know, in the secondary now, it's there are people asking to pay $150. It's probably going to be a $200 bottle probably. Before long. But I'm just kind of stuck on this, whether or not this is a hidden tribute to his father. This might actually be one of the better Booker releases I've ever had, and I've had a lot of them. I hate to go out that hard on this, but I would love to get other people's opinion. Check me at the gate.
Yeah, for sure.
The fact, Ben, that you would usually be a thumbs up, thumbs down guy, and you're totally, you're on top of this one.
No, this one is
phenomenal. This one was an easy one, wasn't it?
Yeah, this one, so folks, so four thumbs up here.
Yeah.
You've got to try this one. This is available. It is affordable. It is outstanding. You're going to love it. You're going to thank us. If you hate it, or if you love it, I don't care, either one. Just send us an email, ben@bourbonpodcast.com. Check out our new website, bourbonpodcast.com. We've updated it, revamped it. And as I plea several times during the podcast, leave us a review. Apple, Spotify, whatever you listen to us. Tell us what you think. Let us know what we can do better. Tell us what you like. We actually read every single review, and we have made changes based upon reviews and based upon emails that we get. So, folks, Booker's 2401 Springfield Batch, you need to get. Thanks for tuning in. Are you enjoying Bourbon Podcast? Be sure to leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And by the way, thanks for listening. Let's get